Hi guys, welcome to History Endgame. I am not a hunter. I refuse to hunt outside the designated hunting zone of my fridge. I am not an outdoorsman, sorry. The bears will just have to terrorize someone else this year, thank you very much. Hell, I can barely get a Capri Sun started, let alone follow in the footsteps of John Henry. And, unlike Daniel Boone, the only frontier I'm interested in is Star Trek's final one. Last season, I published an episode called Nature is Trying to Kill You. The episode focuses on real-life stories of people who would have lived a lot longer if they wouldn't have messed about in Mother Nature's front lawn. Back in October of 2022, when the episode came out, I caught a small to medium-sized amount of flack. Seriously. I was shocked. It's like I was bad-mouthing their sweet, innocent grandma or favorite Star Wars movie. Wow. I guess people really, really love nature. Now, of course, being a content creator where backing down from flack has been genetically removed from my DNA, I decided to write, record, edit, and produce Nature is Trying to Kill You, Part 2. Would you rather be a best friend or a really awesome and cool almost best friend? Would you rather be someone's best sexual experience or someone's sexual experience still worth writing home about but a few moans and moments of reckless abandon short of being their best sexual experience? Unfortunately, life puts us in hierarchies. We are evaluated and defined by the words and deeds of others. In a race, you can come in second place by 10 seconds or 10 minutes. It doesn't change the fact that you are, and forever will be, second place. But what's wrong with second place? Tommy Lasorda, a baseball legend and Hall of Famer, once said, "The best possible thing in baseball is winning the World Series. The second best possible thing in baseball is losing the World Series." Huh. Noodle on that one for a while. Maybe Lucky Lasorda was onto something. Maybe at the end of the day, it's not all bad. It takes the failure of third place and fourth place to even provide you with second. Being almost a best friend is still an admirable status. You're no regular friend, or even worse, acquaintance. Nope. Being someone's second best sexual experience is nothing to beat yourself up over. Second best out of 305 shows a lot of potential. Then again, perhaps that potential would be better developed with a more sensible partner, just saying. Quick. What's the tallest mountain on the planet? Mount Everest. Everyone knows. What's the second tallest mountain? See? Almost nobody knows. K2 is the second tallest mountain on the planet. While Mount Everest reaches a height of 29,032 feet, K2 clocks in at 28,251, a mere difference of 781 feet. The stats, well, they won't ever change. K2 will always come in second place. Poor guy. However, that doesn't mean the mountain is second best where it counts. While coming in second to Mount Everest, K2 is regarded as a far more challenging and dangerous climb. On K2's climbing route, the climbing pathway narrows into a bottleneck. Now, this portion is particularly notorious among the mountaineering community and extremely dangerous due to large sections of unstable glacial ice overhanging the bottleneck. Throughout history, only 377 people have successfully reached K2 summit. However, each successful attempt came by scaling the world's second best mountain from the Pakistani side during summer months. K2 has never been conquered either from the opposite side or during the winter months. Disaster is a big word, an epic one. Synonym words like debacle, setback, fiasco, or mishap aren't even comparable to disaster. In fact, out of all of the words in the English language, when the word disaster is used within any event's official title, you just know it's not a historical occurrence that's sweet and innocent. The 2008 K2 disaster, that's right, there's that word again, directly in the event title, occurred over 2 days in August. Nature is harsh and indifferent. It doesn't discriminate. During the previously mentioned days, mountaineers from numerous international expeditions attempted to conquer K2 by reaching the summit. However, most of the expedition teams were plagued with sickness, equipment problems, and delays. Good grief, people! And need I go on? There are two time-tested truths I abide by. One, when you find yourself noticing that your animals are acting strange, becoming ambivalent, or vanish like a fart in the wind, you're either in a horror, alien, or monster movie. So, GTFO. Two, when goofing around in nature's bathroom, problems and delays are always perfectly good reasons to call the whole mess off. One expedition team, after being delayed all day, didn't begin their ascent until midnight. Boy, howdy, I don't know about you, but you've got to be fairly gung-ho to begin an expedition up the deadliest mountain in the middle of the night. No way, man. Brew me a cup of warm tea, break out the boggle, and let's start again in the morning. You feel me? Sadly, the aforementioned bottleneck with its overhanging glacial ice became the catalyst for disaster. Massive glacial ice formations broke off not once, not twice, not thrice, but 4 times. The last 2 glacial falls created serious problems as they both provoked massive avalanches, putting everyone on the mountain in extreme danger. You know, I'm quite naive. I always thought getting swept up in an avalanche would be kind of fun, something my inner child would really enjoy. Unfortunately, in 2008, both avalanches were significant enough to, well, cause a disaster. On August 4th, 2008, 2 military Pakistani helicopters began a search and rescue operation. The good news is that the helicopters managed to rescue 2 injured and severely frostbitten Dutch climbers from base camp. That's right, base camp. Even base camp fell victim to the never-ending plummets of snow. The bad news is that 11 others were killed. That warm tea sounds like a great frickin' idea now, right? And why is that? I'll give you a hint. The episode is not titled, Warm Tea is Trying to Kill You. During the 2 subsequent years, 2009 and 2010, not a single expedition successfully reached K2 summit. In fact, more lives were lost. In 2009, an Italian expedition member lost control of his skis, falling to his immediate death. In 2010, a Bulgarian climber died from a cerebral edema or swelling of the brain brought on by altitude sickness or lack of oxygen. Later the same year, a Swedish expedition member suffered frostbite, disabling him from effectively placing a safety piton. He fell over 3,000 feet to his death. A few years later, in 2012, A well-experienced and seasoned Russian climber drew a page right out of Jack Torrance's playbook from The Shining and froze to death. From the onset of formal record-keeping in 1939 to 2022, K2 has claimed the lives of 91 people. That's an average of one K2 fatality per year. See? Second place, but not where it counts. Designed by Adam Katuza and published in 2016 by Rebel Studios, K2 the board game puts you in the shadow of the formidable mountain, ready to climb to the peak for glory and fame. First, let's get the specs out of the way. K2 is a board game for 1 to 5 players, ages 8 and up, each game lasting about an hour. The object of the game is to move your two climbers up the mountain using movement cards, or bolstering their physical fortitude through acclimatization cards. The higher a particular climber goes, the more victory points they earn at the end of the game. The winner is the player with the best combined score between their two climbers. But watch out! The upper parts of the mountain can take a serious toll on your climber's acclimatization level. If your climber's level falls below 1, the poor, overzealous, and deluded dope dies, and you lose any victory points acquired by the dearly departed. And let me be very clear, the possibility of one, if not both, of your climbers dying is not some nebulous and rare concept. When you play K2, you have to be prepared for disaster to rear its ugly head and decimate both of your climbers in a swift and unexpected morbid moment like in one of those Final Destination movies. This game of mayhem and mountains is entirely cutthroat, which I love. Now, typically, I'm not a cutthroat, take that kind of player. However, K2's gameplay transforms the act of being mean into something quite fun, exciting, and ever so satisfying. Nothing about K2 the board game is friendly. Depending on player count, mountain locations have a maximum occupancy. This is how your climbers get stuck and freeze to death. Players are allowed to build 2 tents of their designated color. Tents help shield your climbers from oncoming snowstorms. Once placed, tents will never move. Should another player find themselves at a location with one of your left behind and now empty tents, well, tough titties. The zippers have been boarded up. And this is how your climbers get stuck in a snowstorm and freeze to death. Naturally, the higher your climber goes, movement becomes far more treacherous and difficult. As previously mentioned, acclimatization represents, for lack of a better term, your hit points. However, between you and me, there's nothing far beyond the excitement of reading printed numbers on board locations. What really gives K2 an extra kick is the implementation of weather. Weather tiles are shuffled and placed next to the board. Not only do they serve as the game's timer, but they inform players of any impending wind, snow, and ice disasters. These tiles can become more of a consideration to some players than others, as each weather tile denotes the section of the mountain where the storm will take your helpless climbers downtown to Pound Town. The board is sectioned off into 4 different mountain regions. Base camp to 6,000 meters, 6,000 meters to 7, 7 to 8, and 8,000 meters to the summit. An end of the world category storm may be projected for tomorrow. However, it only brings icy cold death to climbers occupying the 7,000 to 8,000 section. Now, if a player doesn't keep a keen eye on the upcoming weather forecast and the position of their climbers, Well, without the perfect set of cards in hand, they could be eliminated at the drop of an icicle. At the time of recording this, I've played K2 four times multiplayer and once solo. In not a single one of the multiplayer games did both of my climbers scale K2 and live to tell the tale. And yet, to be honest, it's the most fun I've had watching my meeples freeze to death in a long, long time. Wrapping things up, K2 is a cutthroat racing game that requires a decent amount of prudence. Regarding K2's complexity, the game shares the same frigid snowbank with games like Ticket to Ride. K2 is easy to learn, easy to teach, and a snow ton of fun to play, especially at higher player counts. K2 is a family game filled with nastiness, perfect for families like the Gallagher brothers. If you find the complexity of Ticket to Ride to be not too much, not too little, but just right, and find yourself searching the market for the same amount of complexity but with cold-hearted selfishness, I highly recommend picking up a copy of K2. And hey, if it's the second best game you purchase all year, then do me a favor. Hug the game. Give it some love and praise for not being the 10th or 11th best game you purchased all year. Pull it down from the shelf, set it up on your table, and smile. Because a smile is the second best thing you can do with your lips. And even though a smile will always and forever be second best, still, a smile can change the world. And that, my friends, is being second best where it counts. My name is Andrew Davidson. I hope I have given you something to think about.